News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Let us know where you want us to go here on this Friday morning. We will go in a number of directions this morning for sure here in this final hour. You've got Plattner up in Maine, and you have the New York Times kind of running cover for him a little bit in a story that probably could have been a little more critical of him, and yet it really, yeah. It's almost like they threatened to hit you with this big bat, and then they just laid the bat down.
Well, I mean, it's still this expose, I guess, if you want to call it that, with his ex-girlfriend's speaking out, and we see it on both sides of the political aisle, but it's hard to not notice when the New York Times, the way they cover a socialist with a Nazi tattoo running for the Democrat primary in Maine, compared to how they cover someone like Roy Moore or Justice Brett Kavanaugh with the Christine Blasey Ford.
That's a great point.
And we'll get to it.
But they're saying, hey, we covered it.
Yeah. And I guess.
But it's the way they covered it.
So maybe we can go into more detail if you want on this here in a little bit. But Lindsay Fifield is one of the ex-girlfriends. An interesting tie, too, to a FM Talk 106.5
contributor.
Yeah. Todd Stacey.
Yeah. And we've got you earlier this week, I think it was Monday, I was saying, I don't know about these ICE protests in Newark, New Jersey. There's no way that this is a bunch of housewives from the area that are. Yeah. And now Fox comes out with a story, and sure enough, and we already kind of knew this. Who makes up these groups and how they work as this paid off mob, basically, to do what they do in places like Minnesota and now Newark, New Jersey, when you see politicians standing next to them like they're viable citizens who have this terrible concern, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not who they are. So you're just tying yourself next to these mobs. And so that anyway, we'll might get around to exactly what makes up some of these ICE protesters.
Yeah, but why don't we start with the economy? And as we rocket towards midterms, I mean, the wallet is how most people vote. And with fuel prices where they've been since the war in Iran began, and of course, fuel has a pretty big, it's a big reason why overall inflation can rise too. But you look at the rest of the economy, and things seem to be working just fine. So how will this all play out to the midterms? There was a highly anticipated jobs report that came out this morning. The U.S. economy added jobs at what they call a modest pace, but this was twice what was estimated for this jobs report for May. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that employers added 172,000 jobs. The figure is above the estimates of economists who predicted a gain of 85,000 jobs. So not bad.
We keep exceeding the economists month after month after month.
Yeah.
Do we not?
Every time.
Yeah.
The unemployment rate held steady at 4.3%, which was in line with those economists' expectations. And they did make some revisions to the last 2 months' jobs reports, but they didn't revise them down, Dan. For March, revised it up by 29,000.
Mm-hmm.
So for March, there were 214,000 jobs added. For April's report, they bumped that up by 64,000, saying that 179,000 jobs were added for April. And now with the May report coming in, 172,000 jobs, twice what they had expected. And as far as which parts of the labor market experienced the better growth.
Yeah, what's accounting for all this?
So you have, let's see here, the private sector added 120,000 jobs. They had expected 90,000. And manufacturing payrolls jumped by 7,000, beating all estimates. The prior month's initial estimate of a loss of 2,000 was revised to unchanged. Durable goods employment expanded by 17,000, including 3,600 jobs in motor vehicles and parts manufacturing. And the federal government actually added jobs, 1,000 jobs added to the federal government after two consecutive months of shrinking payrolls. Compared with a year ago, federal government payrolls are down by 311,000. So remember early in this Trump term how much focus was put on cutting a lot of federal government payroll positions. And that's certainly been the case. But for the first month in a while, they actually added around 1,000 jobs. The labor market in the U.S. has experienced a significant shift away from dependence on an immigration-driven workforce. And reported jobs numbers that may seem anemic compared with recent years may actually indicate healthy, even robust growth under current conditions, according to economists. Many now estimate the so-called break-even rate of job growth may be as low as zero. That's the rate required to keep unemployment from rising. I mean, by contrast, they write, when immigration was at higher levels during the Biden administration, the economy needed to add more than 100,000 jobs per month just to keep pace with labor force growth because so many people were coming across the border and entering America. You had more people, you had to add more jobs or that unemployment rate would go up.
Mm-hmm.
They also write that retirements are slowing labor force growth and an increasing number of members of the large baby boom generation that leave the workforce and later smaller generations fail to fully replace them. You add that into the stock market news from yesterday when the Dow surged to a record close of 51,562. Yesterday, healthcare stocks and financial stocks were a big reason behind those numbers, and then optimism over progress towards ending the Iran war. I'm not sure what specifically gave these investors more hope that the Iran war would be coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
But the S&P 500 gained modestly, and the NASDAQ yesterday finished flat. So some economic news for you. By the way, SpaceX, that big listing, June 12th, the market debut for SpaceX as they target a $1.75 trillion valuation. It'll be interesting to see the effect that has on the market.
Elon about to be a trillionaire?
Yeah, has he crossed that threshold yet?
I think he's getting there. Also, when it comes to jobs, see that President Trump, again, is seeking to boost the struggling U.S. industry, the coal industry.
Yeah, Trump poured a lot of money into that.
Pretty big initiative. Yeah. He's talking about it right here.
It was set aside for the Green New Scam, but the Green New Scam is history. When you look at that, those states, West Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Indiana, Tennessee, Arizona, Arkansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Wisconsin, what do they all have in common? Trump's one of them.
Wisconsin, but you're
I want every one of them.
So he's talking about a lot of, that's a lot of states. I think he rattled off seven or eight states there that will now be in some way in the coal production business and
or to help bring them back to life, so, most of these states that had already been involved. And then there's a there was a project in Oakland that, I think it's Oakland, the port out there, that they kept pushing off and couldn't find the funding for, and he found some money for that too. And I forget the numbers. I had it in front of me, but that port will, after all this work goes into it, they'll be able to export a lot of coal every single day. And with many countries right now going through an energy crisis, you can just add that to the export list for the United States. And I mentioned the Alabama numbers earlier for 2025 exports. Not bad. Not bad at all. $23.7 billion worth of exports in goods and services last year. And the state reached customers in 190 countries. Mm. So as goes America, certainly Alabama in prime position to really capitalize on a lot of these movements, whether it's the defense industry, which we have handled here in Alabama, or with our port down here and being able to export and import goods. I mean, we're in a pretty good spot as long as you have people in office that are like the Trump administration, which are really trying to, you know, grow that GDP from within.
Well, it's not necessarily the Trump-endorsed candidate, but one of the candidates is speaking about Alabama in those very terms, and it's Jared Hudson, the U.S. Senate candidate, talking about the state becoming kind of a leader when it comes to military and, you know, advancing the port all the way up to Huntsville and everything in between, and talking about how Alabama can become, you know, put a strategy together to become a leader in that way. So that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, and they've been going back and forth, Jared Hudson and Barry Moore. We're just over a week out now from that primary runoff.
Talk about the way that Jared Hudson was kind of defending Barry Moore, but not in a way. Yeah. He kind of came up short and made sure that that everybody totally understood his military background.
Yes, they've been in a little bit of a Twitter beef, you could call it. and a lot of back and forth between the two of them personally on social media. I found that tweet yesterday, if I can find it again. For some reason, I did not save it. Here we go. So you had Jared Hudson, who was commenting on Barry Moore, who was commenting on Jared Hudson's it was all about the filibuster.
Yeah.
And whether or not either candidate feels that the current Republican Senate should bypass the filibuster in order to get a lot of these Trump, the moves that Trump wants to make across the finish line.
Right.
You have the runoff election coming up. You had Moore on X 2 days ago who said, "My opponent won't commit to nuking the filibuster." He told a WVTM reporter, "The president wants us to remove the filibuster, as does Senator Tuberville, and I agree with that." He said it was a necessary change in order to get the Save America Act and the rest of Trump's agenda across the finish line. And after Dan's story this morning, it does appear they'll need to work some magic to get that Save America Act through, because you have four Republicans who continue to side with the Democrats.
Yeah, it's not going to get through.
And it didn't make it in that reconciliation bill. Hudson said if Moore was serious about passing the Save Act, there were other actions he could take. Quote, "Barry, if you're serious about the Save America Act, start by calling Senator John Thune, who endorsed you, and tell him to stand with President Trump on it." Hudson suggested keeping the traditional talking filibuster, but removing the silent filibuster, which allows senators to quickly block legislation without debate. He posted a video on X. "Alabama voters deserve a leader who can actually get the job done, not just talk about it. The Save America Act must be passed by nuking the silent filibuster. We don't need to change any Senate rules like nuking the filibuster to pass the Save America Act." And Hudson and Moore, they are set to debate Monday night in Montgomery,
yeah,
which both referenced in their back and forth on social media.
That'll be very interesting.
It really will be. And so Barry Moore commented on a video of Jared Hudson calling Barry a liar. Barry said, "For too long, weak Republicans played nice with Democrats and got walked over for it every single time. Jared is betting Chuck Schumer will show restraint in a hypothetical Democrat majority. He won't. They will nuke the filibuster and pack the Supreme Court with partisan leftists the first chance they get. So we do it first. We pass the Save America Act, and we make sure that day never comes."
So he's accusing Jared of being not schooled enough, not skilled enough, and kind of naive to think that the Democrats won't nuke the filibuster.
Mm-hmm. And I can't find the exact tweet, but more or less with the
there's some controversy about
Barry Moore
Barry's
and whether
serving
he served. Yeah, yeah, because he was in the Navy. And people are saying now that he never actually served. And the way that Hudson handled it here, he said, "Yesterday I was asked about my opponent Barry Moore's veteran status. I don't know if the reports are true, and it's not my place to make any claims. We've seen how the media can come up with salacious accusations, and this could very well be another example of that." And then he says, "I've seen people accusing me of not even being a Navy SEAL. My DD-214 and everyone I've served with say otherwise. That being said, Congressman Moore can easily clear this up by releasing his as well at our debate on Monday." So he's calling for Barry Moore to show some proof on Monday while also defending him and saying, "Yeah, I know how the media can make up these salacious accusations."
Yeah, but at the same time, he's pointing out the fact that he was a Navy SEAL. And the only thing that prevented him from trying to compete for to get to the highest level in Virginia, they found out he was diabetic.
Hmm.
So that was something that came up medically, and that prevented him from trying to advance on to SEAL Team 6, basically.
Wow. 820, your texts on the text line, 251-343-0106. We'll also have a conversation later this hour with Jennifer McCrary with the Baldwin County Public School System, and they have they're doing this annually now, but an event where they help grandparents, single-parent households, foster families, with getting their kids signed up for school, make sure they're technologically ready for whatever that may entail, you know, logging online to get homework and things like that. She'll fill us in on all that coming up.
What you have with the family dynamic is you have more grandparents who are the primary care of these kids, mm-hmm, and they need to be brought up to school. It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning. Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:25.
One thing, Paul Lewis again. He he heard you say it's National Donut Day, and then knock, 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 here's a couple dozen donuts.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. That's awesome. That's gonna make this office get along all day and get our work done on this Friday.
We were very fractured. It was a mutiny on the Bounty, and Paul Lewis has saved our overall morale.
I think so.
With some donuts. What was it? Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Got the deal where you can get a free donut, just show up and they'll hand you a glazed donut. And also, if you get a dozen donuts of any type at regular price, get that second box, that second dozen, $2.
$2. Only on National Donut Day. Squirrel Vereen says you can get the Hudson hat, the Jared Hudson hat, from Eagles and Angels. That is a cool looking hat. I think I might have to get that just because it looks so cool. That's awesome. Thank you, Squirrel Vereen.
Get it after the election.
Yeah. Yes, certainly. Not before.
Wear it after the election.
Michael says, I DM'd you the video that he put out of the Barry Hudson Army stuff. It was a really good response, and so was Hudson's response about the filibuster. We also talked about all of the dangerous accidents, Moffitt and Howes Ferry this week, and Michael said, Moffitt from Robert Trent Jones to the interstate is a complete racetrack, especially in the morning rush hour. Let's see.
See, somebody wanted to get a little love to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, why not mention WNBA games? I've been watching Caitlin Clark. She played sick, threw up at halftime, still helped the team to win. Good story. I saw her playing, like the highlights. I didn't know she was having her Jordan flu game moment
So when I got to the she played sick, I thought, you know, she played really well.
Yeah, well, she did.
And then when he said she threw up at halftime, I was like, oh, no, he meant she was sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just a regular season WNBA game. I don't, you know.
Yeah, we covered some Caitlin Clark a lot last year. Listen, I've been doing the sports report for a long time, and I'm not all-knowing, but I have found that our audience is not tuned into the WNBA as much as you'd think.
If they are at all, but if they are at all, it's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that is a fact. Another texture, jobs are coming to Mobile, my favorite five words in the English language, and also wrote, AI may replace social networks as the most popular topic, much like Facebook replaced Starbucks as the most popular topic. I'm not Nostradamus to call this out. It's been in sci-fi movies forever and ever. Everyone knows there is going to be a reckoning. There will be a moment. I'm thinking it'll be big enough that it's not even Democrats, Republicans anymore.
It's going to be that big. And I've been talking about, like, we should at least have maybe a segment of the show or something where let's check in on AI. What's the latest? What's the story that we can have that's pertinent today that wasn't even known about yesterday? Recent advances and things like that. It's going to be the biggest thing, not a big thing, the biggest thing.
There will be candidates voted in or voted out based on their stance on AI.
Right.
Right. And so you have this report that came out also that China, and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You would if you just sat back and thought about it, because we're in a race with China.
Yeah, they're trying to line our fields.
Yeah, they're pouring a lot of money into the anti-data center, anti-energy for data centers movement in the United States because they're trying to take advantage in China at the same time. And as this texter pointed out, China makes 90% of the solar panels. They have a vested interest in seeing energy for data centers, like in Henry County, Missouri, for example, are dominated by the solar panels that they sell. You also had Anthropic, another AI company, and they are actually calling for everyone to chill out. They're saying that AI is progressing at such a rapid pace that they think with these large language learning models or whatever they're called, they'll soon be able to teach themselves and grow without human help.
Yeah.
But some people think Anthropic's just doing that to place guardrails because they're ahead of some competitors.
Anthropic's doing basically what China was doing, right? They're saying, hey, slow down now.
Slow it down, yeah. We're in the catbird seat. We don't want to see this getting too crazy.
8:30, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Grandparents who need a little help with technology for the kids that they look after. That's on the way.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Congratulations, everybody. We again made it to a Friday. That's a reason to celebrate. Also a reason to celebrate, get to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, we are doing great, and even better, if you're able to make it out to the lot at McConnell Automotive. You guys have quite the selection, a great deal on trucks, but really any kind of vehicle for those that are looking right now, whether it's the kid haulers, getting them to all those summer responsibilities or down to the beach or the pool, or if they need a truck to get some work done, you've got it all.
That's right. I mean, we got a great selection. McConnellAutomotive.com. You can check all that stuff out on online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And give us a call, 251-476-4141. If you see anything you like and you need any questions answered, we'll try to get to you as quick as we can. And, I mean, we love selling cars around here. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like you said, we've got some great deals going on. And got that 0% going on half-ton trucks. I mean, we got, and you said, kid haulers. We got a 15-passenger van sitting here, too. So,
wow.
We got a great selection. So
I would hit up the Philip Rivers family, although they're probably good with the 15.
That's right.
But that could haul a whole office, so that's great.
Oh, yeah.
You can get
it really could.
Any vehicle someone's looking for, you can find it. We appreciate it. And, again, McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. See you there, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Go see him. That's Louie Arata. And they also have a great website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. I can't believe it's been a year since we've had Jennifer McCreary in here.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Baldwin County, and the schools in Baldwin County. It's the Grateful for Grand Families Outreach Program. Jennifer, tell us all about that, and welcome to the studio again.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
It seems like it's been a year.
I know.
Amazing.
It's been a wonderful year. We're grateful for grand families. It's growing. I tell everybody it's mustard seed, but it's growing, growing, growing. You guys have been a great part of it. I got a lot of response being on the radio. But we've had some great community partners come along with this. I was going to talk a little bit about Alabama Cares came along with us, as well as Big Brothers Big Sisters. Mm. They'll be at the events that I'm here to talk about for the summer. So it's just been an outpouring of support from the community, from, of course, my grandparents, great-grandparents that come, students. It's done everything I needed it to do for my heart, but for theirs as well.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was like for my parents when I was in elementary school and they were getting me ready for the school year and signing me up. I do know that we didn't really have to log into any websites or download homework. And not that that's a bad thing, but it's a relatively new thing. It's been going on for a few years now. But when you bring someone into the fold who's caring for children and they've never really had to deal with a lot of this stuff, I'm sure it's quite the shock for them.
Challenge
for sure.
It is.
And being able to help them along, that's a great service.
Thanks. We identified it. I'm a utility bookkeeper for Baldwin County Public Schools, so I'm in any of our 44 schools throughout my day, throughout my week, throughout my year. And we just identified that was a need. You know, I have three kids in college, and 20 years from now, 10 years from now, if I had to raise my great-grandkids or grandkids, I'll have a hard time. I'm not going to be on the forefront of knowing how to do FAFSA or knowing how to register a kid in school, man. And every year it changes a little bit. So that's what these summer technology days are for. And we've kind of broadened it this year. Last year when we did it, we noticed we had single moms and dads that came in. We had some students. We had, you know, we have a large homeless population that have students in school. Hmm. We take care of those kids. We want to respect everybody, give them computers. Some people just don't have a computer.
Yeah.
You may not be a grand family, but you don't have a computer that works at home.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a computer at my house, honestly. I do everything on my iPad, and some stuff doesn't work great on an iPad.
Right.
So we're going to do, you know, registration. We're going to do Dragonfly. You know, if you've got a kid in sports, you've got to upload a birth certificate, do a concussion protocol, all the things online. They can come and do that. They can just come and sit and, you know, talk to other people that are like them. It's fantastic. Have a snack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come to the studio, they all assume that I'm Dalton's grandfather, and that's kind of that's kind of cute.
It's because that's what I tell them.
But you guys both hit the right point. Like it's some of these. Some of these processes they're unfamiliar with it or they're intimidated by it. How do you calm all that down and help them get through it all, Jennifer? Because a lot of it is confidence more than anything, right?
It is, and we just try to identify where the need is at. You know, I spent 40 minutes on the phone with a guy for Parent Plus loans myself the other day. You know, all of that's changing July 1st. I keep up with it because I have kids in college and I've got to borrow money. You know, Brantley, the baby, is in flight school at Auburn. You know, it's an extra $100,000. So I got to find money.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of stuff I try to do for them. And that's where, like, Alabama Cares came online. One of my grandparents actually brought them to me because Alabama Cares, they're filtering down the opioid crisis money. So there's federal dollars going to the states and filtering down, and it comes and goes. So she brought that to me, and Christina Boyington came online. But they do all kinds of needs for my seniors that I didn't even know existed.
Mm.
You know, they help with respite care. You think of respite care, you don't think of it involving children. But for my grandfamilies, they can tap into this money, like to sign a kid up for dance or something like that. It has to be something for the student.
Yeah.
But while that student's at dance for an hour, they can take a respite time to rest, to go see a doctor. Because that's what happens to my grandfamilies. They don't get to take care of themselves.
Right.
Technology-wise, like I said, we have everything there on site at COS Loxley, which is one of our Baldwin County sites at on B Avenue in Loxley. And so we say, okay, do you have this app on your phone? Do you have a smartphone? You know, we figure out how technology can work for them. And if it doesn't work, we're going to figure out the way around it. But 9 times out of 10, they have technology. They just don't know how to download an app or do all the stuff they need to do.
Got it.
I do love that because, you know, there are families out there going through really tough times right now. And not only are you able to assist them in getting signed up for the school year, or and maybe we can go more into detail on how much seniors are responsible for as they head into that year and get ready for their next stage of education, because you touched on that a little bit. But being able to put some people in contact with other organizations, community organizations that can help them out along the way. That just seems like a natural fit, but a great addition to this.
It is. And like I said, they reached out to me. You know, I'll email anybody I can with news, and I always tell people I'm always going to ask somebody to do something for me. They may say no, but what if they say yes? Like you guys, you know, I mean, this is a perfect partnership for me that came through something else I do in life with LCM, but this is wonderful, you know. And then Big Brothers Big Sisters, I always knew they existed, but they reached out last year and came to these summer technology days, and they're fantastic. Like for me, I didn't know Big Brothers Big Sisters, you can do an hour a day, you know, and go, they can fit you with a school, with a student, where they can see you through the day. So they do a big corporate Big Brothers Big Sisters, but they said especially they need men, you know, men, bigs, they call them bigs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, if you have an hour a week or an hour a month, I don't remember the criteria, but they'll be at this, you know, with me and COS Law. See, that's a great thing to do if you've got a little time and want to pour into a child. You know, kids need people that pour into them.
I don't want to stereotype, Jennifer, but for a bookkeeper, you're very chatty. So
that's the car business side of it.
I'm just wondering about that. It's like, what a great personality. We always think of bookkeepers. If they're in the corner, they don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Baldwin County's got their bookkeeper out leading the whole program to publicize it. So congratulations on an added skill that many bookkeepers don't have.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a chatty girl. So y'all know my husband. We chatted up. So,
yes.
You know, like you know, it's warm to my heart. I tell everybody it came through in a weird way, just meeting people. You know, I just tell people God kind of kept nudging me towards it and putting people right in front of me in a week's time that needed this help. And, you know, Baldwin County Public Schools, under the direction of Mr. Tyler before he retired with us, and they were all for it.
Well,
you know,
behind me. It's a great feeling to have the opportunity to help people and see that help actually come through. And you can see that you're doing good. And you have these volunteers also that are part of these days. So it's not you alone. It's a team of people who are trying to make sure that these grandfamilies get the assistance that they need.
It is. And I have people. I have counselors, show up, registrars, principals, assistant principals. I have volunteers throughout my whole county. We have good people in Baldwin County. We have people that really want to see our kids, you know, flourish. And we want all kids to know that you can go to Baldwin Prep Academy and pursue a trade. You can go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government is doing a great thing now, like with FAFSA, where they're recognizing that these kids don't live with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
They may live with just mom, just dad, a kinship family, a grand family, a foster care family. You know, they're finally realizing that, and that these kids need to get a Pell Grant, get a scholarship.
Yeah.
And we want them to you know, if they, like I said, if they want to be a plumber, if they want to go to college and be a doctor, we want them to do that. You know, whatever their life is like at home, whatever their normal is.
To have that opportunity,
yeah,
right,
that they can then take advantage of, right? And,
right.
And speaking of, you know, we keep mentioning grandparents, but you mentioned foster families there. You mentioned some homeless families. Basically, are you guys taking anyone who needs help?
We are.
Right.
Anyone in Baldwin County, whether they're a new student or returning, you know, they are welcome to come to COS Loxley. We're going to be there this coming Tuesday, June 9th from 1 to 5, and then July 16th and 30th. July 16th, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the 30th is 1 to 5. But, yes, they are welcome. If they don't think they fit that mold, just come. Ask some questions. I'll have somebody there that can answer anything. Like last summer, we had a few things that I didn't even know we did in regards to like homelessness and things of that nature. So you know what? We figured it out and I'm better for it.
Yeah.
I learned more about my school system
and
about the world and what we can do for people. So yeah, they're welcome to call me, you know, 251-680-6903. That's my personal cell phone. I do everything on it. So I just want, like I said, I want people to be able to do all these things, get their kid back in school, you know, whatever they need help with, that's what we're there for.
And so all three of these sessions, and I'll say them again, June 9th, July 16th, and July 30th, all of these will be in Loxley at the Central Office Support Facility. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. At the Baldwin County office. They're right there on Loxley, right off of 59.
Okay. So. And I know a lot of information also. Well, you can listen to this podcast again once we have it loaded up. But bcbe.org, Baldwin County Board of Education.org, you have links there. Specifically, if you go through the department's link and then communications, grateful for grant families, it's all listed there too.
It's all listed there as well. And a great thing, if people are at home and can register and know how to do it, one thing that our communication director Daniel Ludlow taught me is that now our website can flip to 10 different languages. So if they
really?
Look in the bottom right hand corner, there's a flag there.
I might do that to Dan's browser just for fun in a little bit. Change his language.
Don't mess with your dad like that.
your pop-pop. I'm his pop-pop. Yeah, let's mess with pop-pop day. Jennifer, always a pleasure to see you, but because we know that your heart's definitely in the right place, and I can see that you get a lot out of doing what you do, and obviously it helps a lot of families, so thanks for coming by. Tell Danielle Ludlow I said hello. It's
been
many years, but I know her for a long time. So
yeah, her and Chastity have been really great to me.
Great.
They helped me figure out all the social media side of things, you know, because I'm real careful. I work for the school system. I can't be putting everything out there. So yeah, but thank y'all. I really appreciate you giving me this time this morning.
She's the chatty bookkeeper, the rare chatty bookkeeper.
I love it.
Jennifer McCrary, yes, a guest on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, thanks again. And that's Grateful for Grand Families. Session dates, June 9th, July 16th, and July 30th. And Loxley. If you want any more information, you can send us a text. We'll get that to you. Also, I have this podcast loaded and continue the link on the website, too. Thanks again, Jennifer.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Plattner in Maine, the ICE protest in Newark. What's going on? We'll tell you on the way.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
They're not covering for this Nazi strange guy on certain platforms who's running for office because he's a Democrat. Is that possible that the press could be going easy on Plattner? And especially you have a New York Times article that you would expect it to go full bore into him. Well, maybe you wouldn't. But anyway, it looks like they kind of used not such a heavy hand in that article.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not like an inside national news guy. But you look at the way these people talk, you know, commentators, journalists, and all this last week they've been saying, oh, there's a big story. Everyone knows about it, but it's being sat on, and it's going to come out at some point. They all want to like be like, I know what's happening, but I'm not allowed to say it just yet. And I guess the big story on Plattner was this New York Times article yesterday. Several women who dated Graham Plattner recall unsettling behavior. The Democratic Senate candidate in Maine could be charming, women said in interviews, but some found his actions intimidating and disturbing.
You know, some of the charming people are some of the most frightening because they do have that side of them that draws you in, and then it's like, wow, they're the freaking polar opposite when you get down to it.
And he's supposed to be, in my mind, like the Bernie Sanders 2.0 regular guy, wears flannel, but also, hey, you know, communism ain't that bad. And so this report, they had Lindsay Fifield, an ex-girlfriend of Plattner, And they posted hers and I believe a couple other exes in this story saying that Plattner wasn't necessarily a great dude while they were dating him. You know, he even after he got either engaged or married, he was immediately sexting other people. And,
yeah. And he's only been married a couple of years.
And, you know, I know how these political hit jobs work. We see it on both sides, but I mentioned it earlier. It's just the New York Times, they're not covering the same way that they even did Roy Moore. Like, and how much of a threat to the liberal establishment was Roy Moore going to be when it was all said and done? You look especially at their coverage of Kavanaugh and the allegations against him and everything that went on after that. And they're just handling this in a different way, even though they had the big breaking story. So Fifield, which, by the way, the tie to Todd Stacey, he said, I've known Lindsay a long time, and we would all hang out at Toon when she and Graham were dating, Graham Plattner. As this is Todd Stacey writing this. Yeah. As her friend, I was never comfortable with that relationship because of how unhinged he was, and she told me he had an SS tattoo long before it became public. Her word is solid. And I guess his excuse for having the skull and crossbones, the Nazi tattoo, as it's been branded, he said he didn't realize it was until a certain time or something like that. Well, her comments to the New York Times, and I guess to Todd Stacey, indicate that it was well known before when he said. I haven't been following this story as closely because we're just talking about a Senate race in Maine, but I didn't realize he's actually leading Susan Collins in polling.
Yeah.
So this Republican who continues to vote purple because or blue very often.
It's purple. She's doing what she does to get reelected.
Stay in office. Yeah. But Plattner's up on her by 4 points, which is a small lead and maybe smaller than a lot of the Plattner backers thought it would be. But it looks entirely possible that he could win that. I've seen a lot of theories that once he gets through this primary, which is coming up next week, I believe, that the Democrats will use all of this to get him replaced in the primary with, a candidate they think can beat Collins.
Wow.
But Fifield told Fox News that, yeah, the New York Times basically buried her allegations of abuse deep into the article. She called it a gift to the Democrats' campaign. And she said, why does it say nobody could corroborate?
She gave them names to cooperate.
Gave them sources that could.
Yeah. So,
that's the big national political story, I guess, this morning.
And this isn't as big national because it's kind of a rerun with the ICE protests in Newark, New Jersey. And I told you on Monday something about that just didn't sit right. It didn't feel right for me. Like Newark's a city it's got its own multiple problems. It doesn't need to be protesting outside of ICE.
Mm-hmm.
It's a city that's got its own problems. They're not worried about the population of that city doesn't care about people being in jail because of ICE. They don't care. They've got their own concerns. And so, as it turns out, they've done some sleuthing here digitally and are on the case, but they're seeing these signal chats in between groups and everything like that. It turns out about 100 groups are making up the people that are up there. Names like the ACLU, Indivisible, Democratic Socialists of America. Together, these organizations report collective annual revenues of about $825 million. There's a lot of money going into these protests. These are not organic protests of people of northern New Jersey are saying, we've got to do something about this. This is so terrible. So when these politicians stand next, like Mikey, the governor, right, and the mayor of Newark, and when they stand next and try to proclaim that they're in the middle of this organic protest, it's a bunch of bunk.
It's all a farce.
All a farce. And much like the ACLU, and now we see the funding, and the guy got a rebate for his cross or whatever.
Yeah, SPLC.
SPLC, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is what I thought it was. You probably knew it was ahead of time anyway, but I just wanted to
some confirmation
come back and say, yeah, the touchdown, us.
Jeff Porcho on the way. He'll have the man I was just referencing, Todd Stacey, with Alabama Daily News on just after 9:30. That's the usual Friday hit there for Stacey. Attorney General Steve Marshall joins Jeff at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Adam Kincaid with the National Republican Redistricting Trust is on at 10:30. Hunter Johnson from Tide 100.9 at 11. I'm sure they'll talk a little baseball. And State Senator Chris Elliott, the regular on Friday at 11:30, hits his same time coming up on the Jeff Porcho Show.
8:59 now, and see you Monday morning.